welcome to episode 39 of Finley's My Little Pony Podcast. I'm Finley, and this is my dad. It's season 2, episode 11 today.
Well, how are we doing, Finley?
Good.
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah.
I think this is 2 weekends in a row now.
Yeah, I guess so.
We're on a roll. We'll be through all the seasons in no time now.
Uh-huh.
Actually, we're way behind. I was just looking at it today. We're not even halfway through season 2 yet.
I know, but we're on the way to one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, really? Can you give me a sneak preview of which one you're talking about?
It's a wedding.
Oh, that's the end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be so awesome.
Okay, well, that'll give everyone something to look forward to.
Speaking of something to look forward to, the next episode is one of our special episodes, episode 40.
That's right. Every 10 episodes, we go off script and pick a different topic to talk about.
I wonder what we're going to do this time.
You know, I was thinking, one thing that we haven't covered yet that you like to do when it comes to the ponies is watch YouTube videos about them.
Yeah.
And I was thinking maybe you could pick a couple YouTube videos out and we could talk about those. Some of your favorite channels, some of your favorite commenters, a couple of your favorite videos.
That sounds lovely.
Okay, well, let's plan to do that. So next week, when everyone tunes back in, we won't be doing Season 2, Episode 12. We will be doing Finley's favorite My Little Pony YouTube channels.
Whoop, whoop.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the episode you have to cover today, actually, I really like. And I can tell you a bit why I like it after you're done describing it. But I think this is a good one.
Okay.
You going to get to it?
Yes.
Okay.
This episode is called Hearthswarming Eve. So we start on the Friendship Express, I think it's called. And they're rolling to Canterlot. And they're on their way, and then when they get there, they play I Spy. They see an 8-foot candy cane. Pinkie Pie eats a gingerbread house. They're going to Canterlot because they're going to do a play about Hearthswarming Eve and how it became Hearthswarming Eve. I'm guessing Hearthswarming Eve is like Christmas, so...
Or maybe it's a mix of sort of Christmas and because it involves cave,
yeah,
a bit of Hanukkah mixed in there. Mm. The ponies hang out there. So, but you're right. Probably most of them are Christmas because nothing else. I saw a candy cane sticking out there.
Yeah.
Oh, and what was Rarity wearing on her head?
She was wearing a giant Christmas tree.
Yeah. No, don't know how that fits in with Hearthswarming Eve, but
me neither.
That clearly was a Christmas tree.
Yeah. And okay, so they're backstage, and Derpy sticks her head out to the crowd, and then they're all getting dressed, and Fluttershy is so scared she hides inside a box, and then the wind starts blowing, so she yells at Applejack to close the shutters, and then Applejack starts yelling at Rainbow Dash, and then Twilight tries to pull Fluttershy out of the box. Then Pinkie Pie tries to help by pulling on Twilight, and Twilight falls into the box, and everything's going crazy, and then it starts. So then Spike talks and talks and talks about how started off.
He gives the setup. He's the narrator of the play they're putting on.
Yeah. I don't know how he got that part, but it's pretty important. So he starts off by talking about the unicorns, Pegasi, and land ponies. The land ponies give the unicorns food for making it day and night, and they give the Pegasi food for changing the weather for them. Pretty much, it seems like me that the land ponies should be out of food by now about how much food they give them every day. And because they are so greedy, it starts snowing and it makes the land really cold. And the more they fight, the worse the storm becomes. And then they have a meeting in town hall or something. And the three commanders... Commander Hurricane, Chancelot Puddinghead or something?
Chancellor Puddinghead.
Chancellor Puddinghead. And I forget the last one.
Oh, Princess Platinum.
Princess Platinum, which is Rarity, and then Rainbow Dashes, the Hurricane President.
Commander Hurricane.
Commander Hurricane. I'm getting all confused with, like, everything, so Princess Platinum and stuff. Okay, and then Pinkie Pie is, of course, Puddinghead. I'll just call her Puddinghead.
That sounds good.
And they all end up arguing and leaving and making everything even worse. Pinkie Pie comes in, that she comes through the chimney, and then Applejack is Smart Cookie.
That's the part she's playing in the
her play. Helpful assistant. And they start talking about how it didn't go well. And then it turns over to Rarity's place. She lives in a warm castle. She's got a nice place, like heaters. And her sidekick is Twilight, also known as Clover the Clever. And finally, over at Rainbow Dash's up in the sky, Commander Hurricane is, and her sidekick, Fluttershy, who is... I get so confused with all these
names. No, you know what, Finn? I don't think they gave Fluttershy...
Yeah, they did.
She kept calling her Private.
Oh.
I don't know if she was Private anything. I just remember that Rainbow Dash calling her Private all the time.
Yeah, I think there was a prisoner, but I don't remember. So, I would call her Private. So, Private, also known as Fluttershy, says how it go, and it went awful. So they all decide to go find a new land. And then they keep walking and walking, and Rarity makes Twilight carry her, because of course that's Rarity all over. It doesn't even have to act. That's just her. And she says her gown is worth more than all the books in Twilight's library. So, yeah. Pretty snooty princess, if you ask me. And when they finally find the land, Rarity only does it for the gems.
So wait, what about the part about Applejack and Pinkie Pie on their search?
All right. Pinkie Pie keeps going around in circles because not only did she make holes in the map because she wants to see, she taped it onto her face, but it was upside down. How did Pinkie Pie become Chancellor? How? They must be pretty crazy to ask her, so...
And not only did she make holes for her eyes, she also made holes for her mouth, too, because...
Yeah.
She couldn't imagine how she could lead if she couldn't talk constantly.
Yeah. And Smart Cookie?
Yeah, Smart Cookie.
Keeps pointing out... Sure, that'd be great.
You think she meant that sarcastically?
When Rarity finds the land, well, actually, Rainbow Dash finds it first, she does it because it looks so amazing and doesn't have any snow whatsoever. So, then she names it Pegasopolis, and then Rarity, a little, like, a few feet away, she's on the ground, sees all these lovely gems, and she says, well, this is so great. I love all these gems. This is now Unicornia. Then Pinkie Pie says, the trees, the dirt. I'm going to name this Dirtville. Applejack says, what about Earth? And then she says, Earth. I like that. I think it was great me thinking of that. Out of her hat came a sign. They all realize that they're in the same place and they're gonna have to share the land. But then they start fighting for it. And then the snow comes out nowhere, so they all hide in a cave to keep each other warm. And even that made them... Well, they don't want to share a cave with each other. They're always like, have a grudge. Grudge rhymes with fudge. They all start fighting, so they make lines to show which one, but then they fight about a rock because they want that rock. And then Rarity wants the rock because there might be gems in it. And then Pinkie Pie wants the rock because everyone else wants the rock. And then they all start fighting for the rock until the whole place turns to ice. to ice, even them. So then Clover the Clever, Private, and Smart Cookie all huddle up in a circle and tell each other that they're way better than the commanders and stuff. And then they get so happy that this magical heart beats off the Wendigos, magical horses who feed off hatred and fighting. And that's how all the snow came. And then they make like these weird noises. So then this magical heart comes out of nowhere. It's like a fire heart to warm all the snow away. And then to keep the heart energized is to keep everyone laughing and happy. And even when they melted away the commanders, it also warmed their hearts. Oh, what a lovely story. And then they decide to share the land forever. And they have a lot of fun.
What do they call that?
And they call it Equestria. But it was like a really small land, so how was that just Equestria?
Well, you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, so. I thought they were gonna name it Canto. But it was Equestria. And then at the end of the play, they all bow and sing a song. And this is like he says that they sang songs to warm the hearts, just like the carols we sing to stay. So, of course, to make this Milo Pony, they sing it. So, and there you have the episode. Oh, wait, I almost forgot a great part. The windows were open, so they started fighting again until they thought they heard the window go. So then Rainbow Dash decides to go shut it because she's actually a scaredy cat. And then the ending was where the heart was over the building. The end.
Yeah, good job summarizing that, Finley. So, on a scale of 1 to 5 pretty pony pageants, how many pretty pony pageants would you give this?
5. I like their holidays.
You like the holidays?
I like the story.
And that's what I really liked about this episode, too, is it's not just the typical stories. It actually sort of builds out the mythology of Equestria. It makes it feel like a real place, right? Because now there's this shared history that goes back and explains where things come from, how it came to be, all those sorts of things. Like it's a real place.
Yeah, and since they've topped that off a long way down all the way to season 5, there's another episode where Pinkie Pie and Applejack share earthworming Eve together. Then a big mess happens, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes, it's hearth, correct?
Why do they call it hearth?
Well, do you know what a hearth is?
No.
A hearth is the area in front of a fireplace. And they talk about warming. That's if you wanted to get warm,
you go
sit around the hearth. And so it's a place where, especially in old days where you didn't have heaters and stuff like that, everyone would gather around the hearth to get warm. That's where you came together to tell your stories and to be a group.
Ah.
And so this was hearthswarming in the sense that this is where they all came together to be one.
Yeah.
To learn how to live in harmony, right?
Yep.
Because the whole point of the story is, right, that before that moment in time, the three tribes of ponies all
hated each other.
Like, fought constantly.
No matter what, it was like food, 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 food.
Yeah, it was all, well, back in the day, right, before you had heaters and air conditioning and all the modern conveniences, it was just about staying alive. And the most important thing about staying alive is actually having food to eat.
One of the funny parts was when they were talking about that they were so used to the land ponies giving them food when they couldn't get it themselves, they got starving and
You find that funny?
The funny part was when the guy started eating his hat because he was so hungry.
So would you say that was the funniest part of the episode?
No.
What was the funniest part then?
The funniest part was when they were about to freeze, Fluttershy, or also known as Private, was like, I don't like... I like you guys a lot more than I like Commander Hurricane. Yeah. I don't hate her. I just really, really, really dislike her.
You know, I thought the funniest part, too, also involved Fluttershy, was at the very beginning, whenever she was on the train, and she said she was so excited. That she was screaming, and she just goes,
"Hey!"
Really quietly in her normal way. So but what was your favorite part of the episode?
Well, that one episode that, with photo finish, when she sneezes, mm-hmm. is like, when she said that she could almost hit something, she just carefully, lightly touches it.
And what was your least favorite? What would you have changed if you could change anything?
I don't like how dishelpful that Rarity was when she was like, no one's going to show up to the play, when she tried to get Fluttershy out of the box. But then she started saying, oh no, this is the most important play. They mostly hundreds, maybe even thousands
yeah.
would come and see it. And then back in the box, Fluttershy went.
You think she should have known her friend a little bit better?
Yeah.
Because aren't they... That's right. Isn't Fluttershy and Rarity, they're supposed to be, like, best friends?
Yeah, they're supposed to hang out more than other ponies.
So she should know Fluttershy better than anyone.
Yeah, what is she doing?
Yeah, you'd think she'd know that her friend really needs to be, you know, have a lot of motivation to get ready to do something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's the other thing, too, Finley, right, is that you were disappointed in Rarity all the way around because the show can't seem to figure out what to do with her. Sometimes they seem to make her prissiness be about empowerment, about how, yeah, she can be prissy, but when it comes down to it, she's tough as nails and she doesn't mind to get her hoods dirty. But then other times, they make it like she's just really frilly and she doesn't want to get dirty and she won't do anything tough and she's a big baby and spoiled brat. So what do you think she is more?
Wait, I remember back in the sisters episode that she's all snooty, but her parents are like, they wear hay hats and their cooking is like really bad.
Yeah, well, I keep remembering the Devil Dogs one, right?
Yeah.
Where she was really in control all the time and used the fact that they thought she was this prissy pony who was really girly and delicate to take advantage of them when in reality she wasn't. But then other times the show seems to make it like she really is the delicate little pony that can't be bothered with stuff. So which one do you think she is?
I can't quite tell. She changes so much.
So she was playing Princess Platinum in this play. Was that...
Princess Platinum was like, I don't want to cross this little tiny river that will take about 2 seconds.
So do you think that was like the real Rarity showing through her part?
I guess so. And like when he asked Twilight to go through, she's like, don't make sure not to get the gown wet.
Yeah. So
it's worth much more than all the books in your library.
Well, who was the most valuable pony in this story? I mean, I guess this wasn't a traditional story because the main six were playing parts. None of them were themselves.
I know,
and
but...
the real story was the Hearthswarming Eve story. So who was the most valuable pony in the Hearthswarming Eve story?
Well, I think it was Spike because he was actually telling the story.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, sure, that's a fine answer, Finley. But I mean, like, in the story of Hearthswarming Eve, which of those ponies is the most valuable pony?
Well, I think there are actually three here.
I think so, too.
We have Private, Smart Cookie, and Clover the Clever.
Oh, and who is Clover the Clever's mentor?
Star Swirl the Bearded. This must have been like 1,000 years old.
Well, it has to be, right? Because this was a time before Celestia, right?
Yeah.
So, and Celestia, we know, is thousands of years old, right? Is she 1,000 or 1,000?
No clue. She looks pretty young for her age.
Yeah. But regardless, she's very, very old.
Yes.
And this play, the story in the play, takes place before she was around.
We all know that Luna's at least a couple years younger, but still very old.
Very old. But I guess that's one of my big questions to you, Finley, which I thought was kind of... I've got lots of questions, of course, for you. But let's start with this one. When Applejack... When Smart Cookie and Puddinghead, you know, find their spot that they want to set...
Those names. Smart Cookie and Puddinghead.
Yeah. when they find their spot that they want to settle, and Puddinghead says she's going to call it, what, Dirtville or Dirtland or whatever?
Dirtville.
Smart Cookie suggests the name Earth, yeah. Which makes me wonder, is Equestria really Earth? And if so, does that mean that either My Little Pony takes place sometime way before people came to exist on Earth? Or is it some post-apocalyptic future where all the people have died out and ponies have taken over the world and now they talk? Sort of like...
Wait, no.
Planet of the Apes, but in pony form.
Or maybe more like the people turned into talking ponies.
Ah, that's an idea. So, which is it? My first question to you, Finley, is Equestria really Earth, as Smart Cookie seems to suggest?
Well...
And if it is... Is the stories of the My Little Ponies taking place before or after people?
Well, let me just start that. Well, Earth is also known as a big round planet with trees and grass on it. Maybe that's why they use the word Earth, because they're called Earth Ponies.
Well, that's a good point too, Finley. They're called Earth. Where would they even get that word? Because as you say, it's the name of a planet, and there is only one planet, Earth.
And they're called Earth Ponies.
So?
They must live on the planet Earth.
Right, okay. So they live on the planet Earth.
Yes.
We agree on that, right?
Yes, because they're literally called Earth Ponies.
You're exactly right. And yes, and Earth can also mean the dirt in the ground, but it's only called that because that's the planet.
It's on a planet.
And so if you weren't on the planet Earth, where would you get the word Earth?
Yeah, really.
I agree. So they had to have some context for the word Earth, which means they actually exist on our planet. So now, are they before people or some, you know, in the wastelands after people died off and ponies grew up and took over the world?
I'm thinking that somehow people turned into talking ponies.
So what could have happened that would have caused people to turn into talking ponies?
Maybe a science project went wrong.
Oh, that's an idea. So it's like
they wanted to make horses more intelligent.
And instead,
they accidentally made it into a My Little Pony. And that My Little Pony was evil. And that evil My Little Pony went all the way over and turned everyone else into a pony.
Okay, so let me see if I got this straight. So scientists in a lab were trying to create a smarter horse. And what they ended up doing was creating the very first My Little Pony, a talking horse. But that talking horse decided that it wanted everyone else to be like it. So it came up with a way to turn all people into talking ponies.
Yes.
You know, this is kind of like the plot of the second new Spider-Man movie where they had the... This was the first new Spider-Man movie where they had the lizard.
Yeah.
And it was a guy who wanted to regrow his arm. And in doing so, he actually turned himself into a lizard. And once he was a big, giant lizard, he wanted to turn everyone else into a lizard. And he almost got away with it. If it wasn't for Spider-Man!
Yeah. If it weren't for you meddling kids.
If it weren't for the meddling Spider-Man. So, okay. I like that as an idea. So, the ponies were the creation. So, who do you think was the very first My Little Pony created by humans before he took over the world?
I think it was Twilight.
No. You think... Okay. Oh, okay. So, how about this then? Giving off your idea. So... If that's the case, Twilight was that very first pony who actually killed off humanity and turned them all into talking ponies like her. And since then, she's continued to sort of steer the history of the My Little Ponies, but in secret from behind the scenes.
Only
recently that she decided to reveal herself again and come back as Celestia's apprentice, when in reality, one of the reasons she's so powerful is because she was that original pony. She was just hiding in the background all of these many millennia.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
That sounds great, but if that was really Twilight, then she should have been in Alicorn a long time ago.
You're right.
I thought it should have... I changed my mind. It's Celestia, because she is old and 1,000 years old.
But, well, that's... Yep. So she, in my story, the story I just said, it's all the same except it's Celestia now instead of Twilight.
Yeah, because...
But what about Star Swirl the Bearded, since he seems to be, like, the very earliest powerful pony?
Yeah. Wait a second. Something just came to mind.
Okay, what's that?
It seems like Applejack has Apple Bloom, right? And Rarity has Sweetie Belle.
Okay.
Then where and Scootaloo was taken by like Rainbow Dash, but where's her real mom?
Okay, so where are you going with this?
I'm saying that her real mom is undercover as the first battle pony ever.
So Scootaloo's mother is actually the very first My Little Pony, created by humans way back in a laboratory.
Yes.
And that's what happened to her.
And she didn't want anyone to know that she turned everyone into a pony, so she hid in the shadows.
And the reason no one remembers this history that they were originally people is because it happened thousands of years ago.
They got so used to being ponies.
They forgot that they were ever people.
Okay.
Ooh, I like this story, Finley. Good story. Yes.
We have traveled to Finley's Mile Pony Headcanon Corner.
That was a good trip.
All right.
So, I've got another question for you then about this episode.
Okay.
So, it was set up in the beginning that the land ponies, the earth ponies... Now, is it land or earth? It's earth.
It's...
Or is it land ponies?
I think it's earth ponies.
Okay. I'll take
earth. Sometimes they call them earth ponies and sometimes they call them land ponies.
Okay.
I hear earth ponies sometimes and I hear land ponies.
So, the Earth Ponies were forced to trade food for good weather with the Pegasi, and forced to trade food for night and day with the Unicorns. And whenever they showed them in the play, like, the Pegasi were dressed up fancy, the Unicorns were dressed up fancy, but the poor Earth Ponies were dressed in, like, rags.
They had makeup to make them look like they had bags in their eyes. Yeah.
So, well, I can understand that, because obviously they're the only ones doing really hard work. The Pegasi just fly around and push clouds around. They do that anyway, and the Unicorns just use their magic. But still, it seems to me that in those negotiations, the Earth Ponies should have all the power. Why did they get such a bad deal? Because think about this. What happens is, so if the Earth Ponies don't give the Pegasi food, the Pegasi are hurt, but the Earth Ponies still have their food. If the Pegasi don't do the weather, then yes, the Earth Ponies can't grow their food anymore. But that also means the Pegasi can't get food either. And the same thing with the Unicorns. Yes, the Unicorns could stop making it night and day, but they're the ones, they suffer from that too. So
yes.
It seems like the Earth Ponies should hold all the cards. Why is it that they got such a bad deal?
I don't know, but unicorns have always seemed like the richest of ponies. And then Pegasus just moved clouds around, like, yeah, man.
Oh, that reminds me. So I like that idea. That
today, like, in My Little Pony, like, not so far back in time, I remember that one time where they were, like, visiting Cloudsdale,
mm-hmm.
Already got a little caught up with their wings, but, like, little scientists made snowflakes, and they had to make rainbows themselves. Everything was
made. So they did, like, real work.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's really the unicorns that are the prissy ones that don't have to do anything. They just use their magic.
Yeah, magic is just, like, another way to do things, but not really moving.
Right. So it's sort of like everyone works for the unicorns, and they use their magic to dominate the other two tribes.
Yeah. Wait, if any unicorns can move sun day and night,
yeah.
Then how come Celestia and Luna just got stuck with that? There's that cutie mark problem again.
That's a good question, Finley. So before Celestia and Luna came along, it was just the responsibility of the unicorns as a whole. to do what those two do now.
And it looks pretty easy. Like, they just use their magic and poof.
Yeah, so why is it such a big deal to those two? And how did they end up with the Jaws?
They even have something called the Summer Sun Celebration, all about Celestial raising the sun.
Well, that's a good point. So, because also, Finley, in this episode, they firmly set up that there are three tribes.
Yeah.
The Pegasi, the Unicorns, and Land Ponies. So there's obviously no room for Alicorns in the original history of My Little Pony. And
yeah, like... Scooch over, Alicorns. It's too late for you.
So do you think maybe the reason is Celestia and Luna were the very first Alicorns, and being so powerful, they got assigned the job of night and day?
I guess so. It's that humic problem again. You get stuck with something your whole life.
Yeah, then it becomes yours.
Yep.
Or was Star Swirl the bearded Alicorn?
Yeah, no. He was just a unicorn.
Okay, so maybe they were the very first Alicorns in the history of Equestria.
Wow.
You think?
Yeah, I think... Well, I kind of don't understand why there's never been such a thing as a dude Alicorn.
Well, I think dudes are a minority in Equestria. That it seems like it's like a 3-to-1, 4-to-1, even 9-to-1 ratio girl ponies to boy ponies.
Yeah. What happened to all the guys? Like, you can only hardly see Big Mac, and there are hardly any guys.
Yeah, well, it's one of those flukes. For whatever reason, whenever ponies have... Well, I mean, ponies are little horses anyway, but when they grow up and have baby ponies, it seems like they're much more likely to have girls than they are boys.
Yeah.
It's something about their biology. Something happened... Whenever the scientists changed them into talking ponies, that changed how they have babies, that all of a sudden now they can only have girls most of the time.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Maybe, see, it's all being explained. So one more question about this, Finley.
Okay.
If this really is Earth.
Yeah.
Where did the magic come from?
The magic came from... Well, since... Scootaloo's mom was probably a Pegasus.
Okay.
She was probably thinking a little ahead about that. She was probably thinking, we can't have all winged ponies. So then she found out that there was more ideas, that the scientists were going to make different kinds of ponies.
Well, so because she's probably a Pegasus, that means that the scientists, not only were they trying to make them smarter, but they were doing genetic engineering to put wings on them, too, so they could fly.
So, she not only found the amazing ways to make unicorns and land ponies, she thought that the unicorns would be super cool.
So she did it just because they were cool?
No, not just because of that. She's lazy! And she was going to use them as her army to defeat the humans.
Oh!
She didn't like the scientist keeping her day and night in a tube getting tested on, so she wanted to make every human a My Little Pony to turn against the scientists.
I got you. So...
She got so angry.
So that original My Little Pony, whoever, or was it, like in your case, Scootaloo's mom...
Yeah.
She created a magic race of ponies.
Yes. She was... So, when they left, she found out a way to get out and mix some potions together, and then she made it, the unicorn potion.
Okay, so she created the unicorns and their magic to be a conquering army at her command, but then they rebelled against her and became an independent tribe of ponies.
They didn't like... I guess they just didn't understand. They were so amazed with their new horns and wings to not even pay attention to what she was trying to tell them. She decided to hide in the shadows and never let anyone know.
Until one day she decided she wanted a little pony of her own, and so she decided to have Scootaloo.
But she
realized how dangerous it would be to reveal her existence to everyone else, so she left Scootaloo on the doorstep of the Ponyville Orphanage.
I guess so. It's like Harry Potter.
Well, she could have left her. Well, I guess no, because Harry Potter didn't go to an orphanage. Yeah. She lived with his aunt and uncle.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Rainbow Dash took her in. I don't know.
Well, I don't think she lives with Rainbow Dash, does she?
No, I don't know. A couple episodes, she's, like, in her own house.
Okay. She has her own house?
No, she's, like, got this little room. Just a little room.
Okay, by herself.
Yep. One little bed and a little room.
Wow. That's a sad little existence she has, then, it seems like.
Maybe someone's taking care of her. I don't know.
Well, the, That was another great visit to Finley's head. Man, we've had a good visit to your headcanon quarter this week. I've enjoyed a lot of the storytelling.
Yes.
This was fun. So I think the only thing we have left to do on our typical roll call of activities is just that, the roll call. And that's really easy this week.
Main six, Spike, one blue pony who
yelled out, "Get on with it!"
Yeah, because Spike was like, instead of happiness, it was winter, and so he kept going on. So.
Yeah. No, the only sort of new ponies we had were the historical ones, but they were all played by the main six, so we didn't even get to see what they really looked like.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait till they open the Equestria Museum of History, and then maybe they'll have, like, wax figures of the original.
Wax figures?
Well, yeah, you know how you go to the museum and they have figures posed to represent, like, historical figures or, like, the cavemen or something?
Yeah.
Or they have the stuffed saber-toothed tiger?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll have a stuffed Pudd'nhead.
What? That'd be so sad.
Well, she's part of the shared history of Equestria. They want to represent that in their museum of history.
Probably just a statue made maybe by a statue. Someone.
I'd be interested in seeing that statue.
Yeah.
Well, I think that wraps everything up for this week. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Finley?
Nope.
So how do you think this episode went?
It could have been about 20% cooler.
Well, we'll try better next time.
Bye!